Today's daf in Masechet Menachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kedesh in Vitzav Tzadik Hey, and we're up to the Iboy Elohu. Right near the top, we had to move a little bit into today's daf yesterday, but we're right up to the Iboy Elohu, Lechem Apanim Nivsal Bamasaot, or not. So the question is like this. The Lechem Apanim is sitting there on the Shulchan, and the Anan rises, and we have to move. So we take down the Mishkan, roll up the curtains, and now the Shulchan is covered with that special cloth that was used to cover it for the Masa'ot, for the journeys between the Machanot. And the question is, during that period, does the Lecha become Pasul B'Yotze? Because we've taken down, after all, the walls, which would be the equivalent to the walls of the Azorah, which were the curtains of the Chotzer HaMishkan, and if we had taken it out of those walls in the Beis HaMikdash, it would be Nifsal B'Yotze. So maybe now it's also Nifsal B'Yotze. Or not. Oinu Nifsal B'Masa'ot, or during the period of the Masa'ot, perhaps it wasn't Nifsal. Now we're going to see that the reason for our consideration that it's not Nifsa is because the Torah says, Beferish, the Al Shulchan HaPanim Yifrisu Beget Techelet, so when it was time to move the Mishkan, they would cover over the Shulchan HaPanim with this pure Techeles, and the Lechem HaTamid was still on the Shulchan. Alav Yiyen. I mean, if the Torah says that the Lechem HaTamid stays on the Shulchan, it sure sounds like that is part of its Aveda, stays on the Shulchan. I mean, the only other reason for it to stay on the Shulchan, I mean, it's not impossible, but it's a strange thing to stress about the Lechem staying on the Shulchan as if it's there, is because we can't burn Kachim outside of a Mokum Kadesh, so we have to wait till we set up the Mishkan again to burn the Psul Yotze. I mean, it's a little hard to believe, it's not impossible. So that's our question, really. So it turns out that there's a machlokas. At least we think there's a machlokas. At the end, may turn out there's no machlokas. But we think there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So one says it's pasul, and one says it's not pasul. Sounds like a big machlokas. We'll see how we can get around the machlokas completely. So it says, assuming that it really is a machlokas, and assuming that we're talking about the same situation, namely that the Shulchan is actually covered with its beget tchelet, and it's got the lechem apanim on top of it, and the Torah is still calling that lechem apanim, lechem atamid ala shulchan, what would be the svar? So, mind you, Amar Nifsal, if you see, we don't know who said what, but whoever said it's pasul, he would be derish the pasuk that it says in Dasei, when we started to move, it says, kasher yachanu ken yisol, which seems to be saying that all of the halachas that were applicable at the time of the machane, which of course includes a psul yotze, ken yiso, all of those halachas continue to be applicable. So just like b'chayananto nifsal b'yotze, so too b'nesiyato nifsal b'yotze. So it seems to be saying very clearly that there is a psul yotze during the masos. Mashenkin, the madyamar, who said that it's not nifsal, he says, look, it's all very nice, but it says, Beferish, in the Pasuk, the Lechem HaTamid alav yiyeh. I mean, what's the point of saying the Lechem HaTamid is on the Shulchan if it's Pasul? So it's clear that it's calling it still that same Lechem HaTamid. It's the same Lechem that was always there. That's what Tamid. And it's going to be on the Shulchan. Okay. So now, what does each do with the other argument? So whoever holds that it was not Nifsal, what does he do with the pasuk of Kasher Yachanu Ken Yiso, which says all the same dinim of Yotze apply? No, he says it means just the opposite. What it means is that just like when they were in the Machane, Ki lo yatsa mimekomo, if you didn't take the Lechem out of its place, which in that case would be in the Machane, would be anywhere in the Chotzer HaMishkan. So too here, if you didn't take the Lechem off of its place, and what's its place in the Midbar? Al HaShulchan, the Lechem HaTamid remains Al HaShulchan. So if you didn't take it off of that Shulchan, so then lo nifsal. That's what it's saying. So, af b'nisya toki lo yatza mimekomo. Of course, the mokum in that case is defined as al hashulchan yalechem atamein. So then it wouldn't be pasul. And according to the other Mandi Omar, isn't it pretty clear? If he says, how can he say that it's pasul? I mean, it says beferish, we call it the lechem atamein al hashulchan, and you're saying it's pasul? Or k'tiva lechem atamein alavi yiyeh. I understand what arguments you're going to give me, but I don't believe him. I just don't believe him. I mean, it's a serious apostate. You could say that it means it has to be there just in order to burn. I don't buy it. And the truth is, the Gemara says, you're right. It's very hard to excuse that apostate. You know what? We probably misunderstood this. Ella, Kiyotar of Dimi Amar, actually, everybody is made it that if the lechem is on the shulchan, so then, for sure, that's exactly what the pasuk is pointing out, that the lechem hatamid al hashulchan means that that's its makom, and it will not be pasul biyotzei. That's for sure. The machlokus must be between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where it was taken off of the shulchan already. So now it's the lechem, which was taken off in order to eat before we started this nesiyah. And then we were carrying that lechem along with all of the things that were being carried in the Machane Levia. So one Mandi Omar says, well, so then at that point, of course, it becomes pasul. After all, it says, Kasher Yachanu Ken Yiso, which means that all of the psula yaitse, all of the psulim, whatever they are, would still apply. And the other Mandi Omar says, so Mandi, let's see, he didn't say, Mabachan Ayaton Yivso Beyotse, Af Benusiyato. Mifsal biyotze. Now, you have to ask yourself, as the Shita does, how would this happen? I mean, the lechem was taken off on Shabbos, right? And it only was kosher to eat. It would become possible, Lina, after that. So exactly how would this happen? I mean, there wouldn't be no seya on Shabbos. You're not mechal of Shabbos for even the building of the Mishkan, and certainly for the nesiyah of the Mishkan. So then, even let's say that the Anan was lifted up on Shabbos to let them know that they're going to be traveling right after Shabbos. There's still plenty of time to eat it, right? You can actually eat it on that Shabbos. So it doesn't really make sense. Why would there not have been time to eat it before the Mishkan was taken apart? So the interesting case that the Shita comes up with, the only case that he can come up with where this is a practical, actual circumstance would be if that Shabbos was Yom Kippur. So then they couldn't eat it on Yom Kippur. So then the only time they had to eat it was Mitzvah Shabbos, but then they were already taking down, they were taking down the Mishkan. Okay, strange case. But I mean, obviously, it doesn't matter how strange the case is. We always want to understand how the halacha is defined. And so the principle is clearly, it's not a crazy impossible case. So the principle remains accessible to us in these circumstances. So let's think about what that machlokas would be. So therefore, we've got the same idea of either darshanin kasher yachanu ken yisrohu, which tells us that it is pasul biyotze, and learning from what pasuk now would we have to say that it wasn't nifsal. I mean, now it's not on the shulchan anymore. You said the machlokas is now talking about a case where it was already misulak min ha-shulchan. Ah, that is the pasuk of v'nasa ohel mo'ed. This is a pasuk that we've darshed several times, as Tosis points out. And what it says there is, v'nasa ohel mo'ed machane ha-levi'im betoch ha-machanot. So why does it have to point that out? Because it's coming to tell me that af al pi shenasa, even though we took it apart, the Torah is calling it still the oyel moed that was. And that would mean that even though it's misulak, it has a special new din of the oyel moed, bisha'a, that it's traveling in the machne. And therefore, it's telling us that af al pi shenasa, it's not going to be pasul biyotze as a new gezeiras hakosher that redefines the oyel moed. Okay, so now, the Mandi Omar who holds that the lechem did not become pasul because of this pasuk. But what does he do with the kasher yachanu keniso, which seems to be saying that all of the standard psulim that applied at the time of the machana continue to apply at the time of the nisiya? Well, he says, that means exactly the opposite of what you're saying. It's le'idach gisa, it's the other direction. So tell me, just like in the chanayah, if you have not actually taken it outside, you wouldn't be passing it. That's true even in the nisiya. If you don't take it outside of machana levia, and that whole area that is traveling now, as together with the levium, that's called the machana levia. So then that becomes effectively the chatzar ohol moed. And if it said it's still called the ohol moed, and the whole machana levia is the chatzar ohol moed. So what's the problem? And what about the man Yomar who holds that it did become pasul? What does he do with the pasuk of v'nasa ohol moed? Haktiv v'nasa ohol moed. So why else would it mention that the nasa ohol moed? Well, because it has to tell us where the ohol moed travels. That, remember, is in Nosa where we're talking about the first group of three shvatim left, and then the next group of three shvatim, and then v'nasa ohol moed b'tocha machanos. Exactly. So we have to know what point does the ohol moed go first, second, third. We need to know v'nasa ohol moed. What's so strange about that? So Ahula de Galimu Da'ata, that's coming to tell us where among the various Digle Hashvatim did the Ohol Moed start traveling. And Ve'ida, so the one who uses the
pasuk. Orange onto something, because I will say this.
What in the world is that? It's really strange. It happened earlier today also, so I don't, it obviously isn't coming from you.
Does Rebbe have a tab open somewhere?
Not that I know of, but who knows? I could just close my entire browser.
Rebbe, when it's on, the speaker icon will be on the tab. Well, Rebbe's on a Mac?
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead, then I take that back home.
The speaker icon. I don't see any speakers.
No, I was wrong. I that's for a PC.
Okay.
It's still in the stored.
Okay, and yeah, maybe it's just like one of these, like it keeps testing to do. I don't know. Yeah. Crazy. All right. Sorry about that. So if you hold that we learn out from that pasuk about the Degolim, not about where.
Thank you for telling me.
Now I hear somebody talking again, but I think that's coming from us.
Taken care of. I'm sorry.
Yes, that was Brucey. Okay. All right. We're trying our best. Let's try that again. Okay. So the Mandi Amra who uses that pasuk about Vinasa Omoid to tell me that the Omoid is called an Omoid even at this matzah, how does he know where it is among the Degolim? I mean, doesn't he need that to tell me where the Ohol Moed travels among the Degolim? No, because it says Machaneh HaLeviim B'tocha Machanot. So if B'tocha Machanot, that means in the middle of the other Machanot. So if it's telling me that that's where the Machaneh Leviah was, and we know that Machaneh Leviah was, of course, where the Ohol Moed was, they were carrying it, so why do I need the extra Pasuk V'nasa Ohol Moed? Okay, so that means this approach, this is Rav Dimi's approach that we have, is that if the Lechem Aponim was on the Shulchan, everybody agrees that it's certainly not Nifsal. If it had been removed from the Shulchan, there we have a Machlokas. Do we? Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who are Amoroyim, would be arguing with a Braita? I mean, take a look at this Braita, Medve. When they took down for travel, they took down the Ohol Moed, Kodshim Nifsalim Biyotze. It says Beferish. Any Kodshim there are Pasul Biyotze, because there were no longer any Mechitzes. If there's no Mechitzes, then there's a Nifsal. So you can't get more clear than that. Now, Zovinu Mitzorain, they are Mishtachin Chutzul Mechitzatan. It's only the Machane Shechina that was messed up here, right? Because that was the only area that was taken down. The Machane Leviah was still there. And the Machane Yisrael obviously was still there. The entire Machane is called the Machane Yisrael. So because of that, the Mitzoraim, who have to be Chutz L'Sholosh Machanos, they still have to remain outside of the Machane Yisrael. And the Zovin, who have to be Mishtalei Chutz L'Shtei Machanos, they still have to stay outside of the Machane Leviyah. So what do you see from there? That Kochim are Nivsoim, and that Kochim, I mean, includes Lechem Aponim, doesn't it? So my love, I feel like I'm upon him. So why would it be different than anything else? Well, maybe not. Maybe it means bar me lechem upon him. Maybe it means other kachin, karbonas. Maybe it doesn't mean the lechem upon him. Oh, come on. What kind of argument is that? We're talking about if it's misulak, so Ramon of Shach. Either you are taking seriously the pasuk of Venasa Ohel Moed, which means it's considered to be the Ohel Moed, even though it's mifurak for the masa. But if that's true, then even kachim won't be possible. And if it doesn't mean the Ohel Moed has a halacha of Ohel Moed, so then even the Lechem Aponim, we don't have any basis for being the chalak between the Lechem Aponim and anything else other than while it's on the Shulchan because of that special pasuk. But we're talking about where it's misulak ben HaShulchan. So this doesn't make sense. All right. I changed my mind again. Elaki Asa Ravin. So Ravin, when he came to Bavel, he said that one of these two Mandi Amrin, Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, one was talking about a case where it was still on the Shulchan, and that's why he said it's not Nifsal. And the other one was talking about a case where it was off of the Shulchan, and that's why he said, as the Brayta just said, that it is Nifsal. And they never were arguing. You made a mistake. The whole thing was a tempest in a teacup. We were talking about two different cases. So the pasuk that says beferish that the lechem atamid was olav under the peget chelet, indeed, that means exactly what it says, and it was kosher. Everybody agrees to that, as even Rav Dimi noted. And if it's misulak, everybody agrees also that, of course, it's pasuk because the brayta says beferish. The moment that they took down the mishkan, the kachim, which of course includes the lechem aponim, were nifsalim beyotze. So we don't have any problem at all. Okay, now, you see, however, by saying that it was Nifsal B'yotze, you see an interesting thing, says Abaye, that Shemamina Yesh Siluk Masa'ot Balayla. You see that there was times in which all of a sudden, you think you got it bad, you got to run down to the shelter. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, you could get a warning. And, oh my God, there goes that cell phone again. We got to move. So what happened? Because otherwise, why would it say that things become possible biyotze? The kachim that becomes possible would have become possible lina anyway if it was past the morning, right? So it's got to be in the middle of the night. Good heavens. So you see from here that you could start an emergency nisya smack bang in the middle of the night. So Shmamina Yesh Siluk Misa'ot Balayla, because if you're going to tell me Yisakadaitach Ein Siluk Misa'ot Balayla, so then when would they have to move? It would only be moved away in the morning. So then if it's Vatsafra, my Ari Mishum Yotze, what do we have to bring up Yotze for? It was already Nifsabalina before they were Yotze. So you see from here, there were times in which they were Mefarik, the Mishkan, in the middle of the night. I understand. Is that a chiddush? I mean, like, doesn't it say that beautiful pasuk right in Shmos, the leches yomam v'layla, that lo yamush the anan b'yom and the amudesh b'layla? It says beferish the lechet yomam v'layla. They would walk by day and by night. I don't understand what Abaye needs to make a deal. That's crazy. Is it Farish a pasuk? You're making a diak in like a lima that we were talking about? Is it Nifso Biyotze? What am I missing over here? No. I'll tell you what you're missing. Mao de Tema, Abaye had to say what he said, because if you didn't have Abaye, you may easily have thought that Hani Mile Echad Okur Biyamama. If you started traveling, like mentioned, you're traveling during the day, and now you want to get to a good motel at night. Okay, so you keep traveling into the night a little bit. That I understand. That's how I would have taken the pasuk. But to say that all of a sudden in the middle of the night you have to wake up and you have to be oiker to everything in the middle of the night, I would never have thought that. So, the Leili Alamatsu'akri. They weren't able to just in the middle of the night start traveling if they weren't in the middle of a travel. Kamashmalan, and actually, they would do that even in the middle of the night. This is a riot to those parents who, if they're traveling anywhere with their kids, it's got to be starting in the middle of the night when they take them out in their pajamas into the car, and therefore there's a little bit of hope that you can have peace and quiet. As the Gemara, Veraminu, is this true if it says in the following brisa differently? Listen to this. Huglulu haparochot. We said that actually there was an Isserat Zavin and Mitzorayin. Didn't we just say that in the brisa? And that they were unaffected by these changes because, after all, the Machane Levia and the Machane Yisrael didn't change. And look at this brisa. The moment that they rolled up the parochot does not mean the parochot inside of the heichal. It means the all of the curtains. Parochot, Lashon Rabin, I should say. So when they rolled up all of the curtains, the Zavin and Mitzrayim were allowed to come into the Machane. How could that be? The Braita before pointed out that there was no change in the Machane that would affect Zavin and Mitzrayim. Ravashi, you're right, but this is a machlokas tanoim, and therefore it's not a problem. This brisa that says that they're allowed to come in is only true according to Rebbe Eliezer. But the brisa originally, that was the normal shita, that was the shita of the rabbin, and that was the shita of the rabbana. What is this machlokas? Well, how in the world could we say that there was no iser of tuma in Machane Levia and in Machane Yisrael? Why not? Because take a look at this bright. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Yochol dachakuz avinu mitzoraim v'nichnesu la'azara b'pesach haba b'tum'ah. Yochol yuchay avin. So let's imagine a case like this. The Pesach is being brought b'tum'ah. Now remember, we're only allowed to bring a Pesach b'tum'ah for Tum'ah's mace, right? We learned that out from the whole parsha of Ve'yu anashim t'me'im l'nefesh adam. And that's the din of Pesach Sheni, depending on whether it's Rovat Zibor. So let's imagine a case. We have Rovat Zibor's Tomei Beis. So now we're bringing the Pesach Betuma. Now, this does not help Zovin and Mitzorayim, because only Tumas Meis is Mutter to be bringing a Korban Pesach Betuma. But what happens if the Zovin and Mitzorayim feel left out? They push their way into... They want to see, at least, if we can't eat, so let's see the Akramas HaPesach. And they push their way into the Chatzar, or the Azara in modern terms. Well, would they be Chayav? Yochol Yehu Chayavim? That's why, says Rebbe Eliezer, take a look in the Pasuk, in the mitzvah of Shiluach Tmeim min HaMachane in Nosai, Vayishalchu min HaMachane, Kol tzarua v'chol zov v'chol tamei l'nefesh. So why does it repeat this to put them all together to tell me that where is there a din of shiluach min ha'machane, where all three are being sent out v'chol tamei l'nefesh? So b'sha'ah sh'tmei meitim mishtalchim mezavinu mitzoroim are also mishtalchim. But if there's no chiyuv to be shaleach tmei meisim, such as the case of a Pesach haba betuma, and of course by extension to our case where there's no machane shchina because we've taken down the mishkan and therefore there's no iser of tmei meis, so if ain tmei meisim mishtalchin, ain zavinu mitzoraim mishtalchin either. And if that's the case, then Rebbe Eliezer is clearly telling us this braita. The moment we took down the oil mayed, there's no machane shchina, there's no shiluach tmeim of meisim, then by definition, there's no kiv of shiluach tmeim of zavinu mitzoraim either. Wow, perfect. This brings us to a very important moment in history. Thank you, Sir Richard. And if those Iranians claim that a ship slipped through, it's only because of taking the time to say, Zuck to Hela Commissioner, and there's nothing to do about it. Achash de Alechem, the Achash Lechem Haponim, so we've been talking about how to knead them, how to bake them, if there's a Xeris HaKosuv, or if it's a Takona, Achash Achash, Shtayim Shtayim, and so on and so forth. Now, the question is the place where that Aveda is done. So whether we're dealing with the Shtei Alechem or whether we're dealing with the Lechem Aponim, which we've been talking about their connection to each other, the Lisha, so making the dough, and even the Aricha, which is putting them, getting them ready for baking, shaping them, and so on, that can be done outside of the chotzer of, which in modern terms is the Azora. So there's no problem over there because apparently the Midas HaYovesh for the Isorain were not Kodesh, which we saw before that Shita. We saw that in Rabbi Akiva, that there's no Kedusha on those Midas. So Memela, they wouldn't be Nifsal B'Yotze. So you can do that work outside. But if you're going to bake them, then the tanur, that would be Mekadesh then. And once you bake them, if they're outside, they're going to become nifsa. So the vi'afiatan has to be done inside of the Azora. But einan dochot et haShabbat doesn't mean you can bake them on Shabbos. Now, this doesn't make any sense. Because, memonavshach, if you hold that the tanur is going to be Mekadesh them, and therefore they'll become nifsa b'yotze, then they're also going to become nifsa b'lina. So how would you be able to bake them before Shabbos? So if you hold you can bake them before Shabbos, and you don't have to bake it on Shabbos, so then that means that the tanur was not Mekadesh then. And therefore they're not pasul, even, they're not, shouldn't be pasul, even b'yotze. So either way, it doesn't make sense. What are you asking?
That's only by the Shtei Lechem. Lechem Aponim
aren't what? Finish your statement.
Nifsal Belina. How are the Lechem Aponim Nifsal Belina?
Why aren't they Nifsal Belina? If they're only not Nifsal Belina, if they're the Pashtas, if they were on the Shulchan. Because they're not, you're asking the right question, but you're not getting to the end of it. They're only Mekudesh when they're on the Shulchan on Shabbos. And that's why I had to ask the question. You were going in the right direction. It's okay. But the Gemara will get to that. Okay. So, but the Gemara is going to ask this question. Seems to be a contradiction in terms here. Either Tanur is Mekudesh or Tanur is not Mekudesh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I say, everything and anything that you do for these two things, the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Alechem, every last bit has to be done inside of the Azora because all of the Kalim, including the Midot HaYavesh, were actually Klisharis, and therefore they would become Nivsa Bolina if you're going to do the Nivsa possibly outside, if you're going to do them outside. Everything has to be done inside. Rabbi Shimon says things in a very strange way here, and the Gemara is going to point out the implications of this phraseology. Li'olam have ragil lomar, get yourself used to saying shtei alechem lechem aponim kisherot ba'azara ukisherot bebeit pagi. So you should get used to saying that anywhere in Yerushalayim, whether you're in the Azara, or whether you're all the way at the end of the city in Beit Pagi, you are fine, because basically not the Midas HaYavesh and not the Tanur, there was no Kedusha on either of them, and therefore there's no problem of Kedusha Sagufir. So because of that, you can actually do this anywhere, which would mean that you cannot bake them on Shabbos either. Now, isn't this a contradiction? A gufa kasha. I mean, it sounds like it's self-contradictory. On the one hand, you're telling me, Amrit, lishatan varichatan bachutz. So you're allowed to go do the lisha and the aricha. That you could do anywhere. So what does that imply? That implies that the Midas HaYavesh was not a klisharis. It was an alonis kasha. Because otherwise it would become posel biyotze, right? But then you say afiatan mifnim, which means that the tanur was Kadesh, and the Tanur is essentially the equivalent of a Midas Yavesh. So I don't see why isn't that a direct stira? Omar Rava, you know, this was something. You know the Man of Steel? You ever heard of Man of Steel? They call him Superman. Well, let me tell you something. This was such a tough question that the Man of Steel had a problem with this question. And even he didn't have an answer. So, Uksha Adam Kasha Shukasha Kibarzal. This question was asked by the Man of Steel, and he didn't have an answer. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Rav Sheshes. I understand. What? This is a hard question? This is not even a problem. We had a shita like this in the Mishnah. What do you mean? Rabbi Akiva holds this. Rabbi Akiva holds that the Midas HaYavesh, the Isarin, were not Kodesh, and the Tanur was Kodesh. This is some Man of Steel, man. They better give themselves a new actor. Okay. Let me restate the question. The real problem was the fact that the Mishnah says that the Afiyah has to be done inside, right? So what does that mean? If it has to be done inside, it means that the Tanur is Mekadesh, because if otherwise it'll become Nifsal B'yotzit. And then you turn right around and you say, but it's not Doche Shabbos. Why? Because you can do it before Shabbos. Anything that can be done before Shabbos is not going to be Doche Shabbos. But if you hold that the Tanur is Mekadesh, and it's going to be Nifsal B'yotze, then it'll also be Nifsal B'lina. So how do you have a Tanur being Mekadesh that's Mekadesh only Legabe Yotze, and it's not Mekadesh B'lina? Can you tell me? Does that make sense? That makes no sense at all. Aha, that's what Rava said. Man of Steel. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a lechem upon him outside in the Azara. And Iksha Adam Kasha Shu Kasha Kibarzel. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Rav Sheshes. I'm Rav Ashi. This is a kasha? This is a Man of Steel? Man, oh man. This is a mild-mannered Clark Kent that we're talking about over here. My kushya. Dilma, my me bifnim. Maybe the meaning of bifnim doesn't mean bifnim inside the mechitzas. Maybe bifnim means where we find the zrizim. And it means you gotta have really fast people working on this because they have to make sure that the right things have become chametz, meaning the shtei alechem and the other things that the lechem aponim doesn't become chametz, and they got to be on the ball like those people working in the matzah factories plus. You know, that's what we're talking about. It doesn't mean it needs to be inside, but this is ridiculous. Get out of here. What a Rav Ashi Berusa, come on. This is not meant to be taken seriously. I mean, Mamad of Shach. I don't understand. The baking has to be done inside, which means B'mokum's reason. But when it comes to the job that Richie's doing over there, mixing, you know, he's mixing the flour together with the water, that doesn't require B'mokum's reason. I mean, that's more likely to make problems even than the baking. Look, that's why it was B'davka the Zrizim, like Richie, that were chosen to be the ones that were going to do that work on the matzahs. Did you ever see anybody like Richie? You didn't eat any of those matzahs, I hope. Anyway, so if it means if it means Zrizim, so then the whole thing would have had to have been done. B'mokum's reason. Afia nami. If you hold Lisha and Aricha lo bina Zrizim, so then the Afia should also not reason. This is ridiculous. Forget about it, okay? Make pretend you never heard that. Rav Ashi Barutahi, that's ridiculous. Let's move on. So do we have an answer? No, that's what's strange. We end up really just so being so discouraged, we never actually address the problem. This is like a major sugya. Yeah, how exactly, what was the nusach and the girsa of the Gemara and the different rishonim that paskin? But anyway, the way we have it, the Gemara really just sort of retires with tail behind the, between the legs and gets out of here, and we don't even know what the answer is. Rabbuna Eimer. So then Rabbuna said in the Mishnah that everything that you do has to be done inside. And Rabbi Shimon says his strange words, Le'olam Abi Rogelom Ar, as if, like, you know, this is something I got to memorize, like a mantra. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? that you can do it anywhere, Bispagi, whatever, what's going on? Well, says Rabbi Abo Bar Kahana, you should know that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both darshaned the same exact pasuk. So this is a great opportunity for us to learn the details of the story of what happened in Nov, right? So he comes, David HaMelech is running away from Shaul HaMelech. The Kohanim in Nov have no idea that he's running away. Everybody thinks he is like the most trusted of all of Shaul's servants. So anyway, he comes in, and when he ran without any food. He arrives in Nov, and he is literally starving. I mean, he's about to expire, not stop. So Gemara holds that he was attacked by a bulmus. And that means that he was mamish b'sakanas nefashos. Okay. So taking that into consideration, comes to the Kohanim in Nov, and he tells them that he's starving. Do they have anything to eat? So they say that all we have is the lechem apanim. So David says to them, he says, look, he says, we haven't been sleeping with any women, and so we're all tahar, and everything is therefore isha atzralan, atzralanu, mitmol shilshon, and all of the kalim of all of the boys that came with me, everything is tar, and we got no problem. And then he throws in these words, v'hu derech chol, v'af ki ayom yigdash bakeli. Now, what does that mean? There's obviously, this is like one of the only places in Tanakh where we find an actual discussion that's based mamish on the details, sort of just like Agav. You know, I mean, we have the whole, you know, Bechina of the Kohanim and things like that. But here it's just like a calm discussion between people where it's one of the rare occasions where you get an insight into the level of learning and awareness that was going on that was just being taken for granted, right? So, okay. So now let's take a look at what that pasuk is basically implying. It's very complex. He's saying there's no problem of tumas haguf. No one over here is tamei bekeri. All of the kalim are kodesh. And then he throws in that the lechem itself is chol, or at least derech chol, even if it would go through kedushas kli today. I mean, it sounds like the mamish holding in the middle year of Menachos, you know? What kedushas kli? What exactly was he saying? Oh, so we darsh in the pasuk as part of this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what I understand is that the Kohanim, it was Erev Shabbos, and the Kohanim were preparing the afia. It was Nogea, our Mishnah. They were doing the afia of the Lechem Aponim for tomorrow on Friday. So he finds them, Bechol Dekash Kachinat Ka'afule. So he says to them, why are you baking it on a weekday? They're a chol? You're breaking this now on Erev Shabbos? Even though Lamaisa Afki Ayom Yigdash Bekeli? If you're baking it, the din is that the tanur is kodesh, and therefore it's going to be kodesh with the tanur. So it's going to be posupalino. What's wrong with you guys? How can you bake it today? Right? Beautiful, beautiful way of reading the pasuk. So afki ayom yigdash bekeli, you're breaking it on Friday. If so, balina, it's going to be posul by the time Shabbos morning comes around. So according to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. So sweet. According to the way Rabbi understands it, David was tiny to them. First of all, what are you guys doing? What are you crazy over here? You're telling me you have the lechem aponim. You guys are completely mixed up. It'll be kadesh betanur. Rabbi Shimon holds, no. David arrived Davka on Shabbos, and they were baking it on Shabbos. And he said to them, you should have baked it derech chol. Lo derech chol be'ita l'mavdeh. What do you think? That the Tanur is Mekadesh? The Tanur is not Mekadesh. And there's no psul of Lina. After all, we had a brisa of Mowili. Midi Tanur Mekadesh. The Shulchan is Mekadesh. And therefore, you didn't have to worry about the Tanur being Mekadesh. You should have baked this on Erev Shabbos. So both of them have their limud in the Pasuk Gufa as a discussion between David HaMelech and the Kohanim of Nov. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, how can you say that he came while he found them baking? Doesn't make any sense in the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk Beferish, Vayitein lo hakohen kodesh, ki lo hoya sham lechem, ki im lechem apanim, and listen to these words, ki im lechem apanim ha-musarim milifnei Hashem. All that they had available were the lechem aponim that had been taken off of the shulchan. So what are you telling me? He found them baking it. We're talking about already that these were the ones that had been taken off of the shulchan. And that means that you only take off, remember the new one we have, the kohanim coming in, they put the new one in while the old one's being taken off because of the tamid. So if it was already musar, he couldn't have found them baking it. So your whole theory is wrong. So what was this business about Derech Chol and everything? What were they arguing about? They said to him, we only have the lechem that is musarim milifnei Hashem. And he responded to them, lo, mi boy, hi, forget, listen, you're asking me what? Whether I want to take that lechem, there's nothing else to give me. That for sure, I don't even have a problem. There's not even any me'ila to worry about, right? Because it was already nasa mitzvasei. So lo mi boy, I keep it enough, it lay me me'ila, since there's no iser of me'ila on it. So that's Derech Chol already. But I'm telling you, even if you had to give me the lechem that's on the shulchan and it's kadesh, and I'm going to be over on me'ila, I would take that also. So, even if you put it into the kli today, give it to me. I am about to drop dead. If you don't give me, I will be misukan. And therefore, it's mutter to eat it. Even, I mean, it's like any other bulmuts is mutter to eat. You eat on Yom Kippur, eat whatever. So therefore, I should be allowed to eat it. And don't start arguing with me about what lechem to give me. That's what was going on. So then what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon if it's not based on this conversation? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they were arguing about nothing that was meduyak. They were arguing of the way that they had been taught, and that was Begemara pligit. Rabbi Yehuda was mekabel from his Rebbe that the din is that the tanur is mekadesh, and Rabbi Shimon was mekabel that the Tanur is not mekadesh. And you can see this in the Lashon of the Mishnah. Because why does Rabbi Shimon say such a weird thing? The Tani, always get used to saying, Shtei alechem and lechem aponim kisherot be'azaruk sherot abed pagi. What do you mean, always get used to saying? Tell us what your opinion is. Now, the pshat is, he's saying, listen, this is a Kabbalah that I have from Derech before. Chazer this over so that this Kabbalah, this Messiah is not forgotten. So always say it over in that Lashon. That's the way that I was Makabal it. Otherwise, he never would have used that weird language. Indeed, Shmamina, you see from here that it was a Machloikas, not in their own Diyukim. It was simply two different Kabbalahs that they had. Now we have our hands up from some unaccustomed places. Look at this. Let's take a look at Alon. Yes, Alon.
Just a historic question. Shiloh was destroyed. The Klei HaMikdash Lechora were also destroyed with it. What man, was this Lechem Apanim?
Man, oh man. How are you asking a question like this? Where did this take place?
Nov.
Exactly.
Did I reestablish the Mishkan?
Nov and Givon. What's with you, man? We had old Sugi and Nizvachim.
Yeah, but that was later, Rebbe. That was when the Aaron returned.
No, this is exactly where they had to rebuild, and they had everything that was there. Whatever they had.
So they rebuilt what they were from the ruins. They recovered whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. And now we have a Mo. Mo is also unaccustomed. Why? Because usually he just talks and he doesn't raise his hand.
Rebbe, what was the answer that Cohen gave David HaMelech? What is the nafkamina about the soldiers being told, like they can't eat, they're not Kohanim. So what's
what do you mean? But you still are not going to, you're not going to, he wanted to know whether it was a matzav that they should even be mechal of a kashrut.
Hello.
Oh, no, not again.
Hello, sorry.
It's always great to see you, Mordechai, no matter what.
I had a quick question.
Okay, but one second. We're in the middle here of talking about Mo. What? Just hold on.
Mute it off. Just somebody call me.
Okay. Okay. So it's still we go through all of the Yisurim, the Yisur Me'ila, the Yisur of Tuma. It's a given that if I'm asking you to give it to them, that I'm already talking about, we have no choice but to take it for this emergency.
Even if you're a bulbous.
No, wasn't necessarily, wasn't clear that it was a bulmos at the beginning. They were running, remember, to do a shlicha, supposedly. That's what they told the Kohanim, that we're on an emergency national mission. So that means, and we didn't have time to prepare anything, so give us stuff to take. But the question about whether it was going to be eaten immediately and so on, that he says to them only later that it's a sakana. And that I need it right now. So the level of the Yisr is built up with each level. Yeah. Mordechai left, but okay. Barnea,
I'm right here, Rebbe.
Oh, okay.
So my question was just from yesterday. You mentioned about the haircuts with the marathon. If there's no way to get out on Friday, can it be done today under these specific circumstances?
No,
they canceled the long one.
They only canceled part.
Make it in.
Yeah. Can't get out of the rova because they still have the small one. Okay, thank you. That was my question.
Well, and there's no one in the rova yet. To
Well, it's a different
yeah.
I called yes. Barber. He doesn't know if he can get in. He's thinking, should I come in the afternoon, trying to find out? But
But you know what? Why don't you make an appointment for later on in the day after the stupid thing is over?
Yeah, so it's a question whether I can get Albert to come in then. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you go to Albert too?
Yeah.
That's not Albert. That's Albert?
Albert, yeah. They don't say the T, Albert.
Albert. Okay, very good. I'm sure he'll do it for you. He's Albert's always ready to be a good man.
Thanks, Rebbe.
Sorry. Okay. Take care. Okay.
I just want to add that in this lead into this, when David doesn't show up the first day, Shaul thinks maybe he had a Mikra Lila. So it's very interesting to hear that. No, we don't have Kerry. It's in the background of the Sud.
Yeah, you're right. That is fascinating. Wow. Oh, I have to think about that. That is really strange.
And then the Chitzim.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, the whole thing is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Wow. Yes, I see Handy's got a thought on this.
Can Rebbe explain all those wells? I think there were 5 wells. Can Rebbe explain where the wells went in Rebbe's head?
Yes, there's amazing wells here, amazing wells. The whole story seems to have something to do with Kerry on some level, at least with sperm on some level, because it starts with Shaul assuming that David is not there because he had a wet dream. So it says, he says to himself, okay, so he was Tamei, because the Torah was Mikra Lila, he wasn't going to ask anything, it embarrassed him, so he didn't say anything. But then the second day, it says, now why didn't he show up the second day? Meanwhile, David and Yonatan had made up that Yonatan was going to let him know. The way that Yonatan was going to let him know was by shooting arrows, right? But the Arizal points out that shooting arrows is also sperm, because that's what we actually call yorek echetz, is literally the halacha about how well ejaculation has to work in order to be able to bring pregnancy, and it could be a problem in marriage, and so on. Just remember, the technical term is yorek echetz. And then the Zohar points out, or the Arizal points out, that the relationship between David and Yonatan was chetzi. It was exactly the same as chromosomes, in which that's why sperm is called chetzi, because chromosomes are chetzis, right? They're halves. And the point is that in being two people that are like one soul, so the relationship between them is a relationship of chetzi, which is why they made that simon. Then he comes to Nov, and the Kohanim want to know, is anybody tamei? Because either they were with a woman or they had a wet dream. So he's saying, no, all of the boys are tar. So what in the world? How did all of this get to be central to the whole discussion? That's what Barnea was pointing out.
And now this is moving on to the emergence of Malchus, defined in relationship technically with the Davar.
Of course. So,
right at the place where he's forced into the pure, Yonatan's pure acceptance of...
Anyway, okay, we don't need to...
Okay, beautiful. All right. Thank you for explaining the wows.
There's lots of wows, as you can see. Okay, excellent.